Barbara Schutz, and this session is My Body Sacred. Okay. So I'm going to put you to work first thing, and I want you to take your piece of paper and fold it in half like this. Okay. And we'll also start the pins around in case you need something to write with, and I'll ask you just to pass that. Mm-hmm. And once you get it folded on one side, I'd like for you to list all the things that you do not like about your body. Curious, go back and use those things as you will to help you remember.
Written on the inside, if you do not.
this must be longer. That would be not.
Oh, okay. Expected to enjoy these. These are aromatherapy. And this is something. Let's just pass those around. Just to remind you of things that bring you joy. Yes, it's lotion. Thank you.
wonderfully relaxed or hugely invigorated by the aromatherapy, maybe two at the same time. I'm going to ask you to put yourselves in my hands for a few minutes for a reflection. So that means for you to let your eyes gently close. Put down your pen. You're going to need your paper for the reflection, so keep that handy. Put both feet on the floor so that you can breathe fully. Just allow your attention to focus on your breath. And without judgment, just notice whether your breathing is shallow and quick, or deep and slow, or somewhere in between. Notice how, as the air enters your nostrils, it is cool. And as it leaves your body, it's been warmed by your body. And shift your focus of attention to your neck and shoulders. So many of us carry tension there. And slowly turn your head to the right as if you were attempting to look over your right shoulder. Don't cause yourself pain, but look as far as you can. And then gently return your head to center and go on to look over your left shoulder. And go ahead and do that several times. When you're ready, go ahead and transition that into a gentle neck roll, dropping your chin forward to your chest, and then up over one shoulder. Return to center, and up over the other shoulder. Breathing into the places where you feel tension or pain. Pausing there for a minute to allow that muscle to relax. And when you're ready, return your head to center and upright. Breathe into that space where you imagine your heart to be, expanding it, filling it with warmth and awareness. And I ask you now to open your list of things you like and don't like about your bodies, so that the lists are side by side, and just gaze at them. And just note any reactions that you might have. And if you would like, you may journal on the bottom or the back of the paper about your reactions, responses, as you just gaze at the two lists. To read two scripture passages to you and invite you to reflect on each one. I'll pause in between them, and you may again want to note your response in some way.
The first reading is from the first chapter of Genesis. God created humankind in his image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God saw everything that he had made. And indeed, it was very good. Second reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ himself? Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit? Therefore, honor God with your body. Continue reflecting on your lists. Notice or noting any reactions, responses. And how do you or could you honor God with your body? Join me in a word of prayer, please. God of mercy, in the rest of our time together, we would ask that you move within us to help us resolve the tension between our dislike and distrust of our bodies that society teaches us and our knowledge that our bodies are your creation. Therefore, perfect just as they are. We ask that you help each one of us to move toward an acceptance of, an appreciation for, and a partnership with our bodies. We ask this in the name of your Son, who himself took on a bodily form and modeled your hope for health and wholeness for us all. Amen. In spite of these wonderful words of Scripture, we are often taught, even by the church, that our body is the enemy. That the body may in some way betray us so that we can't even get to heaven. That the body's urges keep us from being holy and faithful and spiritual people. Or at least that the body is just a junior partner in the body-mind-spirit triumvirate.
some of us have been taught too, that the body is just a shell. It's just a vehicle for us in this life and has little meaning beyond that. But if we're to believe Scripture, the body is a full partner in our lives, in the mind-body-spirit connection. It's to play a very important role in our journey of life, in our journey back to God. I've discovered a book by Flora Slauson Wellner called Prayer and Our Bodies that I found very helpful with this tension for me. Flora is a United Church of Christ ordained minister, married to a Lutheran, so that makes her okay. And she is a mother and a teacher and an author. And she, in her work as a pastor, really began to have this strong sense of the body as an important part of our spiritual journey. And so she began to explore that for herself. And the way she did that was to ask in prayer, "What is my body?" And she got no response. And she struggled with that for a time. And finally, she changed the word and said, "Okay, who is my body?" And her conscious mind was flooded with answers. And I'm going to read those to you. And I invite you to close your eyes again so that you can really hear these responses. Answers to the question, "Who is my body?" "I am your friend and closest partner. I am the truth teller. I witness to you your unknown self. I am the faithful messenger and recorder of your memories, your powers, your hurts, your needs, your limits. I am the stored wisdom and hurts of the ages and generations before you. I am a gift giver. Through me, you live and move in God's creation. Through me, you have your vital link with the rejoicing, groaning, travailing universe. I am your partner in stress and pain. I carry much of your suffering so that your spirit does not need to carry it all alone. I am the frontier you have barely explored and the eager companion who speaks to you every moment. I am the manifestation of the miracle which is you. I am the ground of your deep powers. I am the microcosm of the community that surrounds you. I am the microcosm of the universe in which you live. I am the visible means by which you relate and unite with others. I am one of the major ways by which God abides with you, speaks to you, touches you, unites with you. Far from separating you from your spiritual life, I open it to you.
to you. You can pray with me, for me, through me. I can pray also in my way when you cannot. I am always in embrace with you, though sometimes you ignore me or even hate and try to harm me. Together, in passionate unity, we can become the fully alive human being. And you may open your eyes when you're ready. The first few times I read those words, they brought me to tears. It brought me to a realization of what I am, was missing in life. How fragmented I was because I had learned to hate, to ignore my body. I was emotionally disowning my body, which was cutting me off from huge amounts of information, and perhaps even God. So I have become aware of the importance of the body on the journey, and I'm still struggling with that as a possibility, and I'm certainly still struggling with old patterns of distrust and dislike. But it has been an incredible journey for me just to awaken to the awareness, and that's the beginning of healing for sure. You know, we constantly pray for peace in our homes, in our communities, in our world. So why is it we're so often at war with our bodies? We think we're doing things to sustain the body. We feed it, we clothe it, we cleanse it, we exercise it, we ornament it, we cover it with fragrance, we put sweet things on its tongue. But we so often think of the body as broken or less than, or as something that is letting us down in life. And so we tend to ignore them. When they're well, we certainly ignore them. When they're ill, we try to give them. Actually, we don't usually give them the attention they're asking for. We take the body to a physician or a caretaker of some sort and say, fix it. We don't stop and ask, what's this about? You know, what's this dis-ease about? What's the source of it? And even as our bodies take on the characteristics of the way we're living, we try to fix that. Ladies, as our overindulgences at the table begin to show, we just torture ourselves at gyms. We starve ourselves. We even put ourselves in control top pantyhose. As things begin to sag, we try to cover it up with makeup. We even may go and have some invasive surgery to cut away some of the sagging flesh. We can't seem to accept who we are, accept those bodies. And the truth is that we all carry unhealed emotional wounds about our bodies. I don't think there's anyone who grows up without being hurt by a comment somewhere along the line that has given them a perception of their bodies that is probably not true. When I was a chubby, curly-headed toddler, an uncle tells me that my mother said to him, well, she'll never be pretty.
And I'm sure I believed that with all my heart, because I believed everything my mom said. I believed everything she told me. And when I was about 3, she pulled me out of dance class in my little tap shoes, and I didn't have a tutu, so it was a little bathing suit, because I wasn't any good at it. And boy, I have believed that for 50-something years. It's the simplest things, often things that aren't meant to hurt in any way. When I was 10, I had a very quickly maturing body, and I was the first kid in the 5th grade to weigh 100 pounds. In those days, they weighed us. We were in a long line in the class. One teacher weighed and called out the weight for another to record. And to hear the gasps behind me as that weight was called out. You know, we don't get over those things. Those become very much a part of who we are and what we believe ourselves to be. So we all have deeply internalized perceptions about who we are and what we are that may or may not be rooted in reality. And my way of dealing with each of those things was just not to see my body, not to feel it, not to connect with it in any way. And then mind, spirit could be happy and grow and develop and so on without that pain. But obviously I was leaving a large part of life out of my experience. And so 50 years later, I'm beginning to participate yesterday in brain dance. What a hoot. It's great. And to relax for a few minutes anyway and allow my body to move and not care what it looked like or what anyone thought. So we do spend a lot of time on our bodies, don't we? Trying to make them acceptable, trying to make them okay, when in fact, you know, each and every one of us, precious, unique creation of God, in some way intended to be the way we are. In some ways we have chosen things that have helped create us the way we are. But the body is a sacred thing. It is intended as a path to God through sensation, through movement, through receiving, through touch, all those things. It is an incredible gift to us. Why is it that we see it as the enemy? And again, we're reminded so often by alternative healers, particularly today, that body, mind, and spirit are related, and that anything that hurts one part of us or helps one part of us affects the rest of our being. Can you think of an example of that? I'm thinking about how we're told to exercise if we're depressed. The exercise actually lifts the spirit, soothes emotions. I know that I can be very, very fatigued and then become excited about something or forget all about being tired in the excitement of trying something or doing something or a phone call. I can be in a terrible mood and I answer the phone and there's someone there who's affirming and I'm fine. They're just such simple things. It's all connected in some way. So if you, as I have, disconnected with your body for some reason, then you've essentially crippled yourself on your spiritual journey and in your enjoyment of what we are intended to experience as a full life. And thinking back to the scriptures again, remembering that the body is an important part of God's plan, Genesis tells us God created persons in God's image. We don't know how to image God, but we do know that God chose to embody God's Son as we are. That ought to mean something. And it was very good. And in 1 chapter of John, we're told the Word became flesh and dwelt among us full of grace and truth. And Jesus was very aware of people's bodily needs. He spent a lot of time feeding people, didn't he? And even urging them to rest, to take care of themselves. Much of his ministry was about bringing people to health and wholeness. Surely that means that God desires that for us. And as Jesus' work continues through the Holy Spirit, we are to be the body of Christ on earth. Healthy, whole, perfect. So look again at your list of things you don't like. Do those things seem to describe a priceless gift to you? And I would ask you to take a couple of minutes to reflect on where you think those beliefs about your body have come from. Where has the idea come from that any part of you is less than wonderful? My absolute joy to tell you that the healing power of Christ is still present and active in our world, and that it is available to us to heal some of these wounds, to heal the separation that we feel from such a critical part of ourselves. But we do have to open to that healing, to participate even in it. And the way we do that is just by establishing a relationship with our bodies. And the way we do that is the way we establish a relationship with anything or anyone. And that's by having a friendly, compassionate, caring attitude toward it. By giving it undivided attention sometimes, by respecting it, by communicating with it. Got to communicate, not only to say, good body, I like you, but to listen to what our bodies are full of information about the present and about the past. All of our past is stored in our bodies in one place or another. And so the body can open your awareness to things that you need to know, to things that need to be open to healing. And wonderfully enough, we can approach this partnership with our body in a couple of ways. We can work specifically on companionship, companioning the body, and friendship with our bodies through care, openness, listening. Or we can just turn our attention to our relationship with God. Again, creating relationship in the same way, and that relationship of the spirit and of the mind will benefit and heal the body. The relationship over here with the body will open and increase and benefit the relationship with God. So it's a win-win situation if we take the time to attend. So the way we work on the relationship with our bodies is maybe still a little mysterious to you, and I want to share with you another quotation from Flora Wellner. She said, we are to learn to listen to the signals of our bodies. Honoring them is one of the main ways God speaks to us, and by which we can learn much unencountered truth about ourselves and the world around us. The relationship between our conscious selves and our bodily selves was meant to be exciting, enjoyable, trustful, alert, and nourishing, with each part sharing its own special gifts and powers. So the first step toward healing is the relationship. We can't force ourselves to love our bodies. At least I haven't been able to do that. It can't be an act of will. It could be an act of intention and awareness, but I, for one, cannot make it happen. But we can face our feelings, looking at the list you created today, and pray for healing from that, and be open to healing from that. We can pray for the awareness of our body as a positive thing in our lives. Pray for an enjoyment of it. Pray for an acceptance of it. Prayer is the key to all relationship and all healing. Prayer that does allow for deep listening as well as speaking. I really recommend Flora's book to you. It's called, in fact, I have a handout for you of the responses she heard to Who Is My Body, and the title and her name and so on are there. And the last thing I'd like to do with you today is to invite you into another meditation. And this meditation is written by Anthony DeMello, who is a Jesuit, I believe, priest. He's passed away now, I think. But he was very gifted in bringing Eastern and Western ways of knowing God together. And so he's written several books in that way. And this is Sadhana, A Way to God, Christian Exercises in Eastern Form. So if you will prepare yourself again for prayer by putting your things down and feet on the floor and closing your eyes and letting your attention fall back on your breath. And letting that breath bring you back to your heart. a sculptor has been engaged to make a statue of you. The statue is ready, and you go to his studio to have a look at it before it appears in public. He gives you the key to the room where your statue is, so that you can see it for yourself and take all the time you want to examine it. You open the door. The room is dark. There in the middle of the room is your statue covered with a cloth. You walk up to the statue and take off the cloth. Then you step back and look at your statue. What's your first impression? Are you pleased or dissatisfied? Notice all the details in your statue. How big it is, what it's made of. Walk around it. See it from different angles. Look at it from far away. And then come closer. The statue. Notice whether it is rough or smooth. Cold or warm to the touch. Parts of the statue do you like? What parts of the statue do you dislike? Say something to your statue. What does the statue reply? What do you say in return? become the statue. What does it feel like to be your statue? For you to imagine now, while you are your statue, that Jesus walks into the room. How does he look at you? What do you feel while he looks at you? What does he say to you? What do you reply? After a while, Jesus goes away. Now return to yourself and look at the statue again. Is there any change in the statue? Is there any change in you or in your feelings? Now say goodbye to your statue. Take a minute or so to do this. And when you're ready, open your eyes. This was a prayer, a fantasy of all things, allowing your imagination freedom in your prayer can be a hugely enlightening thing. Trust your imagination. Your imagination and your creativity perhaps know God better than you do up here. To trust those things. We have just a couple of minutes left. I would like to invite you to turn to someone near you and share anything that you feel comfortable sharing about your experience with the statue and with Jesus, whatever you'd be comfortable sharing. And you'll each have just like about a minute and a half. So find someone to share with, if you will. And if you feel like you just don't want to do that, you may not. It's fine. Do you want to just turn and go that way? Is this a connection?
It is.
You have a wonderful voice. I could just drift right off. It was easy to visualize.
You just have good pace. That's a nice song.
Yeah, and also that.
Thank you.
Your partner hasn't gotten a chance to talk. Be sure and switch now. And when you have finished your sharing, you're free to go. But I thank you so much for being with me this afternoon and hope you have benefited in some way from it. Help yourself.
Thank you.
You're very welcome.
I don't know. Just,
thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure where I have time for it.
Smell the
one last month.
I think it was the sitting over my eyes.
Is this a statue of something you found in the village, or is
it on the table?
I've been borrowing it from the
chapel.
Probably not to haul it out of the building. So I walked through.
That's perfect.
If you've not seen this, you're welcome.
No, I haven't.
It's intended to put a little piece of paper with an intention of prayer in that space. But I kind of like that space open. And I like the heart shape.
Yeah, that's very
nice. Those are big cattle. I've never seen one before. As they are with it.
But I like
I need to touch and to feel and to
honor. Yeah, and you noticed I did too.
Yes, I picked it up. Enjoy
texture.
Thank you for coming.
My doctor told me to hit it with a rifle.
It smells pretty good.
I felt very comfortable to have him around. It would have been quite scary without him.
It was because when we came, it was
you didn't know what was going on.
You can get all sorts of different kinds.
I mean, just being in that much pain, you don't know if something life threatening has happened in progress. I was thinking, what if you felt like you had to have an emergency surgery? I don't even know that they have, thank you very much. Anyway,
we need to visit with the other people here. That's a coincidence.
Yeah.
Two more weeks.
Not everybody knows even where it is.
Well, I couldn't find it on the map, but I remember.
Are you really?
Yeah.
I remember going to the lake there.
Oh, it's got nice lakes around there.
And I don't even know which lake it was. So.
Eagle Lake is right. Probably our there one, and then Green Lake is by Spicer. That's kind of the famous.
Okay.
Oh my God, awful place.
Pretty Lake by Spicer. Nice to talk to you. Have a good day.
Yeah, all of a sudden I looked at my watch and went, oh my God, I've been divorced 3 years. I'm late.
But you did.
But, you know, in the process, I met these women, and oh my gosh.
How many are there?
There's about a dozen of us.
Wow.
They're an amazing eclectic collection of power and resource.
Mm-hmm. And our age are
Yes.
I have a group of nine of us who began backpacking together years ago when women didn't do that. So it was so much fun to march around in mass and watch guys.
Have you heard about the outrageous broads for wilderness?
No, we're Stavs, the stubborn tough old broads.
That's a good one. This is an organization started in 89, and I'm going to give it to Diane for her wedding gift.
Oh, good for you!
Because she was in our group when we hiked into Holden in 95. It was the first time she'd ever been here.
You hiked into Holden?
Yeah.
Wow.
And I wasn't nowhere near the shape I should have been. I mean, it was just, oh,
took you the rest of your time here to recover from that?
It was just pitiful. But, you know.
But you did it.
Yeah.
Super.
Live to tell about it.
Truly amazing.
So, yeah.
Good stuff. Well, enjoy, Austin. Tell it all. I'll be back.
I will. I enjoy every year.
Wonderful. Well, thanks for sharing. That's neat to know. Women are good. I got a kick out of the enjoyment of the lotion once it was, he had permission somehow.
Yeah.
I love this stuff.
It's interesting how that permission needs to work together.
Yeah, because people got up and went back and looked and came back.
And then how the guys didn't do it to the left.
But they did.
And got into it.
Well, and just the fact that men would even come to this. I mean, my hat is off to them. I know. Oh, it's terrific. We had one guy in the brain dance yesterday amongst 7 or 8.
I'm sorry, I missed that.
That was cool. It really was. Yeah.
I mean, that's something my girlfriend, my yaya friends would just
really go for.
Oh, yeah. We did women's weekend. It was Lynn's birthday, and so she kicked the men out of her house, and we all went down there. And the picture that we all, so without conscious thought, brought a gift.
How interesting.
I brought a craft project to make pins. Arlene's run as a beauty shop. She brought facials and a big pot of crawfish. Potter friend up from the East Coast had brought beaded, she'd made glass beads for, you know, he dry glasses on. And so then one of the pictures is that we've all got these green faces on with our sunglasses around the dining room table. It's great.
Oh,
great,
those are things you'll just never forget.
Oh, yeah.
And it's so wonderful. Well, more power to you.
All right.
Sounds good. And where is home for you now?
Currently, I'm living in Edmonds, Washington.
Okay. So it's a goodly long trip to Austin and Houston, but well worth it.
Oh, yeah. It's the pilgrimage.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay. Don't connect.
Is this yours, this little?
Yeah, sure it is.
What time is it?
5 o'clock?
5 o'clock.
I'm not going to be there for a second.
What are you going to watch?
End of Men in Black.
What's that?
The End of Men in Black.
Oh, okay. No one's going to die.
That guy dies.
Which guy? Oh, the guy with the pink guy.
He doesn't light it off me. I'm looking to dance.
Your weeks. kill us both, but you will not find the galaxy.
Oh, you won't want one there.
No!
Congratulations, friends. It's a squid.
Okay.